2:20, and write this down, son. A satisfied God. Write that down. A satisfied God. And I'm going to turn this thing on. If battery ain't dead, is this on yet? Working? There you go. A satisfied God. Galatians 2:20, Isaiah 53, Galatians 2:20. Tonight I'm going to preach on why we have strife. Why we have strife. You ever wonder why you have so much trouble at home? You ever have so much trouble on your job or down at the schoolhouse or over at the church house? Tonight I'm going to take the Bible and show you why we have strife. Why is there so much strife in politics today? Somebody might give a name, you know, maybe it's a Pelosi, maybe it's a Trump. Maybe it's a Trump, you know. Why is there so much strife in politics? It didn't used to be like this, did it? Why is there so much strife in the churches today? It didn't used to be like this. Why is there so much strife in the homes? Why is there so much strife in the streets? I'm going to preach on that tonight. You need to be here. And just miss that favorite Sunday night TV program that you're going to have to watch all those perverted TV commercials to watch anyway. I can't watch a TV commercial anymore. It's men on men and women on women. It's just sickening. It's just sickening. They're destroying our children. Well, you better get them in church. Get them under the Word. Isaiah 53. Galatians 2:20, a satisfied God. Now, if you got a phone, I want you to turn it off. You know, it didn't used to be there was anybody so important in church that needs somebody to call them, except a policeman or a doctor. And the policeman's not here today, and our visiting doctor that visits every once in a while, he's not here today. So if anybody calling you, they can wait unless somebody's dying or something, you know, and at least put it on mute or something. And because if you don't, I'll probably embarrass you. And I won't mean to. It just comes out. I just can't help it. You know, I'm from Lancaster, and this is the good Lancaster. Here, you'll see the bad. And so Galatians 2:20, Isaiah 53, and the Lancaster people's mad at me now. Some of them watch on Facebook. But turn them off, okay? I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture, and I've got them marked. You don't have them marked. So you have to trust me, okay? I got a King James Bible. If you can keep up with me, that's fine, but probably it'd be easier if you just write them down. If you want to read them later. I've got a lot of Scripture, so, and I got a little time. And so, today my wife's gone to the, church homecoming at Leslie Church of God, and I've got Jerry, and I gotta feed him somehow, and I don't cook. And I don't even warm stuff up, and I don't know how to do anything, and I got to feed him. So pray for us that we get a fast food restaurant that don't have COVID and spit on the burger or something, you know. They doing that. Pray for us, okay? All right, I was just killing time so you can find Galatians 2:20. All right, Galatians 2:20, if you will. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. Travail means hardship, hard times, trouble. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. A satisfied God. I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes here today if I can. Amen. Isaiah 53. We're going to read all 12 verses with me if you will. Look at Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. In other words, he was not handsome or good looking. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That'll make you take down those pictures at your house. You got blonde haired, blue eyed Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Oh my goodness. And acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. That word borne means carried. And carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, means he can't speak. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There it is. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We could hang that up right there today and say it is finished and go home. It is finished. He did all that for us. Jesus paid it all. We like to sing that song. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I want to show you what Jesus did with some verses. Now, I can say all kinds of stuff, and there's all kind of great orators in the world, and they speak greatly, you know, and people just sway at their speech. Old Benny Hinn can breathe on you and knock you over. Ain't nothing good mouthwash wouldn't fix, but he can do that. 100 people, 1,000 people at one time. There's other preachers. I seen one the other day on a YouTube thing. He was supposed to be a preacher, and every time he'd stomp and go, they'd all go and fall down. That's all fakery. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We live in a nation and a time that is dying for the Word of God. It's the Word of God what saves us. It's the Word of God what keeps us. It's the Word of God what delivers us. It's the Word of God what heals us and guides us and changes us into new creatures and makes us a home in heaven. And without the Word of God, you have nothing. But thank God, one day, according to God's Word, in the fullness of, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. When it was time, God sent forth His Son. That we could be saved. That our sins could be forgiven. Now I'm going to go to a lot of scripture, and I'm going to ask you one time. I feel like I need prayer one more time because the devil's not going to like it, okay? Danny, pray for me again, okay? Jesus owed a debt we could not pay, and he paid it all.
Yes.
I want to show you what Jesus gave. There's some things that Jesus gave. And a lot of people think they're going to go to heaven because of what they give. How much money they give, how much time they give to good works, and whether they might work down at the soup kitchen or over at the clothes closet. Or they might take money up with the kettle, you know, for the Salvation Army. Or they may, when I first got saved, I worked at the mill. Then I went back to work at Rock Hill Print and Finishing. And there was a man over there after I got saved. Everybody wanted to invite me to their church. While I was saved, nobody ever invited me to their church. And this guy came out and he had this long pen. And it was 36 pens all hooked together. And he bragged on it to me. He said, I've not missed Sunday school in 36 years. I got a pen for every year for perfect attendance to Sunday school. And I thought to myself, I didn't even know you went to church, you lying hypocrite. Those pens are not going to get you anything. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. Amen. And we do give. We ought to give our body a living sacrifice. That means we ought to take this body and use it for the glory of God in this present evil world. We ought to do that. Christians used to do that. But we can't work our way to heaven. You can get baptized 100 times, still die and go to hell. You can take the Lord's Supper over and over and over and still die and go to hell. You can give all the money to church. One day we're going to build a nice sanctuary right out there, sits 200 people, and you can pay for that and still die and go to hell. And look, it doesn't matter what you give. You need to know what he gave. What did he do? That's what we need to get back to. What did he do? Amen? So I got to thinking about that. What Jesus gave. John 19, and if you want to try to keep up with me, that's fine, but I kind of got a cheat sheet here, and I marked my own, okay. John 19, and in verse 2, listen to what he says. In John 19, verse 4, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Did you know what Jesus did? Jesus gave his tears. Jesus gave his love. Jesus gave his compassion. Jesus gave his long suffering toward us. And Jesus came and he knew that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he knew that he was, according to Colossians 1:18, by him all things consist. By him were all things created. He knew he was the creator and the sustainer of this universe. And yet, he came down and humbled himself and laid all of that aside, took off his royal crown, laid it aside, so that you and I could wear the crown of life. So we could be saved, we could be born again. He lived the life down here we can't live, sinless, perfect, pure, undefiled, never a failure, never a fault, never a misstep, never a misword, and he did it all so you and I could wear a crown in heaven one day. The crown of life. Amen. Jesus gave his head and his crown so that you and I could go to heaven and wear the crown of life. Did you know that Jesus walked outside, and I'm not going to turn there, but Luke 19, it says he wept over the city. Did you know that Jesus gave his eyes to weep for us?
Yes.
Look here. Some people have this idea, and I used to have this idea, you know, that God was a big old man with white hair and a beard, kind of like Brother Guy back there, and he was sitting on the throne with a baseball bat, just waiting to hit people in the head like me. You know, he's just watching me and everything I did wrong, bam, 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 you know. And sinners say it all the time. I must be doing something wrong. Things are going bad. No, God didn't do that. You did that. You're just reaping what you sow. That's all. But Jesus looks over a sinful nation and he weeps for those people. And when Jesus looks at you and I, he weeps over us until we're born again. He gives his eyes to shed tears so that we don't have to shed tears. There's going to be a lot of crying at the great white throne judgment. But thank God we're not going to be the ones crying. We're going to be the ones celebrating and praising God at the great white throne judgment because we were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because he had compassion on us and he looked down on us and he wept so we wouldn't have to weep. Amen? He gave his eyes to weep for us. In Lamentations 3:30, it says his cheeks were smitten. Did you know that he gave his cheeks to be smitten, to be hit, to be slapped for you and I so that we would not be smitten?
Yes, sir.
He died the death that we deserve. He took our beating.
That's right.
He took the beating. Hey, if the wages of sin is death and the soul that sin, it shall surely die, that's our condition, that's our future, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me park it right here for just a minute. If you've never been sorrowful for your sins, if you've never felt bad about your sins, if you've never thought that you've sinned, and you say, well, preacher, sin to you may not be sin to me. No, the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. Talking about law of God. That's breaking God's law. And if you think you've never broke one of God's laws, you're about dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of glory. We can't even keep the first commandment to love him with all our heart and all our strength and all our mind. We can't keep that one. The other nine ain't good. Hey, I'm not making it past the first one. Sometimes I love me too much. Sometimes I let other things get in the way. But he took our beating so we would not have to be beaten. Me and my little brother Donnie, he was a year younger than me. People thought we were twins because my name was Ronnie, his was Donnie. We didn't look anything alike. I was the good looking one. And I got pictures to prove it. But we were like twins. We had older brothers and sisters, but they were so much older than us. And we loved each other dearly. When we were younger, I remember as a child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, getting a beating. And my brother Donnie, when he'd get a beating, I'd cry. And when he vice versa. And I remember one time Mama was pretty well flailing me, you know. And Donnie was crying. He said, please, Mama, don't beat him, beat me. And the Lord Jesus looked down here and said, Father, don't beat them, beat me.
Amen.
Beat me, Father. I know I've not broken your laws, but I'm going to stand in for them.
Amen.
I'm going to pay for that sin that they committed. His head wore a crown of thorns so we could wear a crown of glory. His eyes wept for us so we could see. His cheek was smitten for us to take our beating. In Luke 23:3, and I want to read that one too, 23:34, and if you want to turn there, Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Did you know that Jesus gave his tongue to pray for us?
Yes,
he gave his tongue to pray for us. The one that spoke and the world was made into existence gave that same tongue to pray for us.
Amen.
The one that spoke and the Son was created out there in the middle of nowhere, that same one gave his tongue to pray for me and you. The one that spoke and all creation was created, and the animals and the birds and the bugs and the beasts and the trees and the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the oceans and the seas and the rivers and the lakes and the ponds. That one that spoke, that same one used that tongue to pray for me and you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 15, Verse 5, listen to what he says. He says, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Did you know that Jesus gave his shoulders to carry me and you? He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He called himself the good shepherd. And he said the good shepherd guides his sheep and protects his sheep. And the good shepherd, when he loses a sheep, he'll leave the 99 and go find the one. And you and I were the one that the shepherd came and put us on his shoulders and carried us into the family of God. You know, that day that I got saved, that I was born again, I had no intention of getting saved that day. And did you know I'd been drunk that night before? Yeah, we went to three different bars. I remember me and a friend and my wife went and his wife went and they didn't get drunk, but we did. And I'll never forget that I picked up a pool cue and I was fixing to hit a guy in the head and something stopped me. Something stopped me. And we went home just sick, drunk. Young people, you know, in our 20s. And I'll never forget, boy, I lay down that night and I thought, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to pay for this. Yes. And did you know I got up early the next morning, didn't have a hangover? First time I hadn't had a hangover in years and years and years, didn't even have a hangover. And the thought come to me, you need to go to church today. Amen. Now, you got to remember, I hadn't been to church for about four times before that. And it was just all over me. You need to go to church today. And the sky was blue and the birds were singing. I went there and told my wife, I said, get the kids up. Let's go to church. And she looked like, are you awake? We got the kids ready and went to church. And I walked in there. I didn't walk in there saying I'm going to get saved today. I'd been there four times before and hadn't got saved and had resisted the Holy Ghost. I figured I'd endure that part and I'd leave there like I did. Even when I left lost, I felt like I'd done something good that day by going to church. And I thought I was going to do that again that day. But thank God, the shepherd led me to church that day and he come down there and picked me up. He picked me up and threw me on his shoulders and carried me down that aisle and laid me on the altar. And he said, Father, here's another one. I found him and I brought him home. That's what Jesus gave his shoulders to carry me and you. And ever since then, you know what? He's been carrying me ever since. And I'll get off the path over here somewhere. My old sinful desire to draw me and I'll go off this way. And God, the Holy Ghost, will come back and say, uh-oh, got to put you back on the Lord's shoulders. Let him carry you a while. You're going to get messed up. Amen. Thank God he gave his shoulders to carry us to the good shepherd. And then Psalm 129, if you want to, Psalm 129, and I'm not going fast as I thought I would. Psalm 129 verse 3 says, the plowers plowed upon my back and they made long their furrows. Did you know he gave his back for us to be plowed?
Yes.
And look, it's not like that stuff you see on TV where they give him a little whip, you know, a little whip. And no, sir, that cat of nine tails and had pieces of metal and glass in it, you know, and rocks and they twine it in there, you know, and they plait it all up and down and had all those little pieces of leather and they'd beat him and when they'd pull it back, it would rip the flesh off of him. And like we read in Isaiah, he was beaten so bad you wouldn't even have recognized him as a man. That's what he did for me and you. That's what Jesus gave. He gave his back for me. Yes, he gave his head. Yes, he gave his eyes. Yes, he gave his cheek. Yes, he gave his tongue. Yes, he gave his shoulders. But they plowed his back. And what I read, you wouldn't, according to Isaiah, wouldn't be recognized as a man anymore. They weren't satisfied with beating his face. They weren't satisfied with plucking out his beard. They weren't satisfied with torturing with a crown of thorns, and I don't mean blackberry pricklies either. I mean real thorns, and beat that thing on his head with a stick and made fun of him and slapped him and made fun of him and spit in his face and made fun of him and called him names, ungodly soldiers doing ungodly deeds. And then he turned his back to them and let them plow him like a piece of ground. Jesus gave his back for me. John 19:34, it says something that I think you'll be interested in, especially if your name's Doubting Thomas. 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The water is the fluid in his body, and the blood from the heart that they punctures this way up to his side. He gave his, listen, he gave his side to be speared. Amen. Did you know if he hadn't let them, and it was prophesied. Yeah. And did you know when Thomas wasn't there after his resurrection, he said, I won't see it till I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. And he appeared to Thomas and he said, Thomas, behold his eye, put your hand in my side. He gave his side to be speared. Psalm 22:16, it says, for the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. That's Psalm 22. Listen, that was prophesied that he'd be nailed to a cross. And he said, they pierced his hands and they pierced his feet. In other words, they nailed him to that cross. He gave his head. He gave his eyes. He gave his cheek. He gave his tongue. He gave his shoulders. He gave his back. He gave his side. He gave his hands. He gave his feet. He gave it all. Amen. You know, a lot of Christians, they'll get saved and they'll say, I want to serve the Lord. And you ought to. I mean, that's the least you can do is present your body to live in sacrifice, he says in Romans 12. But they'll do it till it gets a little bit hard. Or they'll do it until they have a little misunderstanding with someone that influences their life about their religion. And they'll try to serve God and live for Jesus as long as it doesn't offend anybody and they don't get confronted about it.
Come on now, yeah.
As long as nobody calls them a hypocrite. As long as nobody calls them a Pharisee, as long as nobody calls them a liar, as long as somebody says, well, I knew you before you made this profession and you ain't no different than you was then. As long as it's easy going, they'll give. But when it gets hard, they quit giving.
Come on, bro. That's good.
Yeah. I'm not talking about money. Same thing with money.
Yeah.
Thank God Jesus didn't quit.
Amen.
At his head. Thank God Jesus didn't quit at his eyes. Thank God Jesus didn't quit with his cheek. Thank God Jesus didn't quit with his tongue or his shoulders or his back or his side. Thank God he gave it all the way down to his hands and his feet. He presented his body a sacrifice so that you and I could be saved. And God could say, I am satisfied with that.
Thank you, Lord.
We read it. It pleased him to lay on him, God, to lay on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. It pleased him that he was bruised for our transgressions. It pleased God. Why? Why, preacher? Why would it please God? Well, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God made the plan. God sent his Son. God sent his Holy Ghost. God began to draw mankind. Before man, before the garden, before they ever fell in the garden, God already had a plan. And it pleased God that his plan had been completed, that now whosoever will may be saved.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I've got nothing to give him. He doesn't want what you got.
That's right.
Yeah. Everything you got is corrupt. We live in a corrupt world. Everything that's touched here has been corrupted.
Amen.
And by the way, if somebody watch this on Facebook, they're going to call this hate speech. Because they've become so corrupted in their mind and their thinking and their understanding. And look, Jesus paid it all. But wait a minute, preacher. I grew up in a Baptist church. They said you had to get baptized. A real Baptist church never said that. They said you ought to get baptized to identify yourself with his death, burial, and resurrection. But you didn't pay for a stinking thing getting baptized. He'd already paid for that. He said, well, you're giving us a license to sin. No, I'm giving you inspiration to have adoration that you won't sin.
Amen. Come on, man. Yeah. Yeah.
In Acts chapter 20. I'm just about through, and I didn't use all those references I had. I knew I'd run out of time. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, talking to the preacher, over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Yes, the pastor is the overseer. And but anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. To feed the church of God. Feed them what? The word of God. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
I'll tell you, shame and disgrace. There's churches in this town right now, in every town, all over America, who people have taken ownership of.
Come on now.
Yeah, they own it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll lose a couple of pastors, and pretty soon they won't even look for a pastor anymore because now they've made a board who qualifies for nothing and does nothing except keep the church. There used to be one here on the other side of town. They voted their pastor out in 1981 and never got another pastor. They pay a preacher $50 a week to come in preaching to some old guy. You know, he wore out, kind of like me, you know, some old wore out guy. And they never voted in another pastor. And that church went down and down and down and down. And they showed up at my church one day right over here on John Street. There was 8 of them left. 6 of them showed up and said, we'd like to talk to you about us merging our churches. And I said, amen. So I went over there and talked to them. And you know what they didn't like? I said, I'm the pastor. They said, well, we have a board that does all that. The pastor just preaches. I said, well, the Bible calls that wrong. But let me tell you something. Jesus owns the church.
Amen.
The pastor doesn't own the church. The deacons don't own the church. The parishioners don't own the church. Listen, there's no board that owns the church. Jesus owns Cornerstone Baptist Church. And how do I know that? Because he paid for it.
Yes.
With his blood.
Yes.
The church is not these buildings. The church is the people that's in these buildings.
Right.
You're the church of the living God. God lives in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're a believer, you're the temple of God. God dwells in you. You're the church.
Amen.
Jesus paid for it.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. I don't know everything. And I don't claim to. There's a lot of people in here smarter than I am, more educated than I am. But I know this, Jesus gave it all so you could belong to his church, which is the church of the living God.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. All right. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right. But you didn't used to belong, did you? He bought you and put you in his church. Now, you know how he bought you? Listen to me. Somebody told you. If somebody had not invited you to church or witnessed to you or gave you a gospel tract, you'd still be on your own. But one day somebody come by and told you about the great shepherd. And they told you about his head and his eyes and his cheek and his tongue and his shoulders and his back and his side and his hands and his feet. And that began to attract you to him. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, he said. And as they lifted him up, he drew you. You didn't do that. You were lost, blind, crippled.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't hear the word of God, see the word of God. And God, the Holy Ghost, began to draw you to Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
And then somebody, The first time I read Isaiah 53, I was sitting in a smoking booth at the industrial mill. Y'all know what a smoking booth is? That's where you go to smoke in the mill. That little wooden booth, three or four of you sit there and smoke yourself to death. You got 2 10-minute smoking breaks a day. And I was sitting there one night after I got saved, and I was reading a man's Bible. I didn't even have one. I was reading his Bible that he had there, and he didn't read anymore. And I began to read Isaiah 53, and I started crying. And I just started crying. I said, "Lord, you did that for me. I didn't know you did all that for me, Lord. Lord, you did." And this guy walked up. Matter of fact, it was Tommy. Later on, he became one of our deacons, Tommy Owens. He said, "Ron, what are you crying about?" I said, This, Tommy." He claimed to be a backslid Christian. I said, "Have you never read this? Have you never read how he gave his back for me? Have you ever never read how he let them beat him up to where he couldn't even recognize him anymore? Have you never read that?" He said, "Yeah, I read that." I said, "He did that for me."
Yep.
And that's why you're in the body of Christ today. One more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and you can turn there. "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He gave his pure blood. He gave all of it so that you and I could be washed whiter than snow. And now he has given his body and his blood and so that we could be saved. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, praying for us, that we can be good Christians, and we can be good witnesses and good testimonies, and he made him to be sin. Do you understand what that means? Every lie we ever told, it was put on him. Every lie every human being of all time has or ever will tell was laid on him. The filth and the vile of those people in these streets burning down houses and businesses and looting and killing and hurting and all this stuff. The LGBTQ, the BLM and all these other organizations, the communists, the socialists, the Democrats, the Republicans, all the sins of all people, all the perversion of everyone that ever lived was laid on him that day. Yes. He became sin.
Yes.
He became the sin that condemned everybody else. Now listen to this. If you remember the crucifixion story, you remember it got dark. But the sun was out. Now if you watch the movie, clouds came, lightning came. Well, there was thunder and some cloud, but the Bible says, and by the way, it can't get dark as night with clouds. But God turned his back on his son. You know why? God cannot look on sin. All the sins of all the world, of everybody ever had been or ever will be born, was laid on Jesus that day. And God turned his back on his son. And then Jesus, while he's hanging on the cross, he says, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Can you imagine the Son of God being with the Father all eternity? Listen, can you imagine why he would say, "Why has thou?" I'll tell you why. Because God could not look on my sin on his son. And God couldn't look at your sin on his son. And God separated himself for his son. Now, you got these preachers running around now that say Jesus went to hell for 3 days, 3 nights. They're not in the Bible. They're making this stuff up. Jesus suffered that hell on that cross that day because, listen, hell is a separation from God.
Yes.
And God poured out hell on Jesus Christ on that cross that day. And Jesus shed his blood His holy, pure, undefiled blood. And that's what he gave for you. And then you know what happened? God looked at that son. He looked at that. And I feel sorry for you young people because y'all have to live in this wicked, filthy, vile, ungodly, perverted world. But Jesus did that for them too.
Yes.
And such were some of you.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
But God looked at that and the thunder and the lightning and the darkness. And then when Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
You know what God said? I'm satisfied.
Amen.
Now Chad can be saved. Now Thomas can be saved. Now Ron can be saved. Now whosoever will, come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. You know why? Because the debt had been paid.
Yes.
That's what Jesus did for me and you.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord.
Now let me ask you this. Have you ever seen that so real that you saw yourself as an undeserving sinner? I mean, if we get what we deserve, we're going to go to hell. We can't do what Jesus did. And even if we did, it wouldn't be sufficient. And God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know how you get saved? Did you know before the foundation world was ever laid, God already had this plan? God already knew who you were and what you was going to be doing. And God went ahead and made a plan so your sins could be paid for. Now, you know what you have to do? Nothing. All you got to do is turn to the Lord. That's repentance. Turn to the Lord. Don't mean going down here making up all this stuff or sending people letters and apologizing for your great sins. It means turn from your sin and turn to the finished work of Jesus Christ and do like that old sinner that went down to the temple and don't even look up. Just say, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yes. Thank you.
I believe Jesus died for my sins. And you don't have to understand it. You don't have to know all the theology. All you got to know is that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And he's the Savior. And receive what he's done. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. There's nothing you can do to add to that story. All you got to do is you believe it. And you ask him to save you. And by the way, you can't even believe it until you ask him to save you and he'll give you the faith to believe it. Is there a sinner here today who would say, Preacher, I know I'm a sinner. Well, I'd raise my hand on that one.
Yes.
Because all have sinned.
Yes. Yes.
But there's a sinner who would say, I know I'm a sinner, but I've never received Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. When you get there, you can be saved.
Amen.
And I'm not asking you to join church or do anything. I'm just asking you to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Lord, save me. And he'll give you the faith and he'll give you the understanding. Now, Christian, let me ask you something. I know it's 20 after, but my wife ain't here. I didn't know her to get home. Listen. Since you received that, the greatest news that mankind's ever heard. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
And it's the easiest thing to do that a man or woman could ever do.
Amen.
And listen, Christian, what are you doing with it? Are you hiding it under the bush Jesus talks about? Are you scared somebody's going to make fun of you? They make fun of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you afraid you're going to lose something? He gave it all.
Yes.
Are you afraid people are going to abandon you? They will. And they did him.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. For everything that this old world takes away from you, he's going to give you a lot better.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about money and all that stuff. May or may not. You may end up the richest man in York County. You may be living in a tent next week. I don't know. But I know this, if you'll receive him and his finished work, he'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And God will look down and say, I am satisfied with what that guy did.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for being here. Inspired.